Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, and we have our dear friend, Brother Gene Wiseman, who stands in the office of the prophet. He's a seer, and recently he heard in the nighttime the Lord, I think the Lord had been talking to him sometime about the word disturbances, and then he heard in the nighttime disturbances in the high places, and he said to me when he called me last Sunday, the spirits in the high places know what the prayers are doing. You want to take off from there?
They have an awareness of what we're doing. They've heard our voices. We know God's hearing our voices, but so does the powers of the enemy. If the mountain is going to be removed, then the mountain has to hear our voice. When God started speaking to me on this disturbances, in high places. Of course, the scriptures started coming to me about the spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers of the darkness of this world, as we've already discussed here in some previous services. But this disturbance thing, if something gets disturbed, it's being interfered with. God wants us to interfere with the devil's plans.
Yes.
That's why he's equipped us.
Yes.
That's why, I mean, the armor is not for no purpose. It's for a reason. And God has equipped us to interfere with what the devil's doing. And one of the first definitions of disturb is to interfere with. And I was surprised when I looked that word interfere up, Sister Billy. It comes from two different words, intra, E-N-T-R-E, F-E-R-I-R. And of course, part taken from the Latin, which is two words from enter or between, to enter between. Our prayers can come between the plans of the devil and the attacks of the devil and the places he's launching those attacks toward.
Yes.
Satan himself is, he knows what the prayers are doing. He knows that we have set a launch against him. We set an attack against him. We've seen recent days here, and probably, I don't mean to be speaking negative, but according to the Bible, it'll be raising again attacks toward Israel.
Yes.
And these launches that are taking place.
The missiles. Mm-hmm.
Yes, one right after another.
Mm-hmm. Thousands.
And we have something. We are equipped for warfare. Mm-hmm. This thing now of Christians saying they're in a battle, we're at the war. This, and we've said it earlier, these wars are spiritual and they can only be won by the Spirit. Interfere, here's something else. Interfere is to come in collision or be in opposition, to clash. People will talk about, oh, these things are our opposition. I would rather word it, we are their opposition.
Right, they'll not prevail against us.
Oh, that makes me want to jump up and leap right now. But we have come, this generation is coming head on with end time prophecies.
That's right, Sister, that's right.
We are right now in time. Now, let's watch this closely. Listeners, watch this closely. We, the church now, this generation, the church in this generation, we are right now where prophecies and fulfillment are meeting.
Yes.
Prophecy and the prophecies, Ezekiel, Zechariah, prophecies and fulfillment are meeting. Daniel, Yes. John over there in Revelation. And you hear people say, oh, I wish I was back there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why? Nobody was born again. Nobody. You know. And do you know, this may sound strange to the church world in this day, but Jesus was absolutely limited on what he could do in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Absolutely. He only could go to the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel. He didn't have the ministry Paul did. Now, of course, his death, burial, and resurrection, ascension.
Yes.
But as far as the earthly walking around ministry.
That's so true. And he was limited. They watched him raise the dead bodies, but he couldn't resurrect their spirit at that time.
No.
He healed their sick bodies, but he couldn't heal their spirit. We have the indwelling. And this thing to interfere, to clash, to come in between, listen, to enter into the affairs of others. It's time that we enter into the devil's affairs, his plans, his schemes, his strategies, because we're a God being. We look at ourselves in the natural and we see the human element. But there's a God being, a God creature, if we have been born again. I said it recently, when I was washed in the blood, baptized in the Holy Ghost, the same Spirit that brought Jesus out of the grave moved on the inside, I have been severed from the stock of the first Adam in the Spirit. And our praying, this disturbance is in the high places. God is elevating the prayers because we've been consistent. Exactly. When was it that God started dealing with you on the Wednesday prayer meetings?
It was on the Wednesday prayer meetings.
The Wednesday.
It was 2008.
2008. Mm-hmm. That, all right, then that's that same time there, mm-hmm. at that same time span.
Really the beginning of the Shemitah cycle.
Well, that's in that cycle. God is graduating. We've been, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Bible says they were skilled in these certain areas.
Yes.
The prayers are becoming skillful in prayer, knowledgeable on how to pray. People that are equipped to go up to the high places and break the strongholds and interfere with the devil. I want to say this too, and I want to reiterate on this. The faith teachers that God raised up, this faith move, teaching faith, preaching faith, faith seminars, faith conferences, the people absolutely needed that, Sister Billy. It's to prepare us for this day that we are approaching now.
Yes.
It's this day that's the coming forth now, because people are going to have to stand in faith, but it's not just going to be a have to hard place thing. It's going to be joy unspeakable.
You're ready. You're a prepared soldier.
Yes.
You're prepared.
What isn't it not written, prepare thyself for battle?
Yes.
But God is equipping us. I don't mean this to sound slothful, but in one aspect, this is right. It does not matter what comes our way, hallelujah, because we're going to be equipped for it.
That's truth. And from the, Fred Price used to say, keep looking down. Look from on high. Look from where you are at the right hand of the Father. You look down on the situation. You live above the fray, and you operate in authority, and you use your the blood and your testimony of what that blood did. And now people know that more than ever before because of what's been happening. Oh, there were a lot of people that knew it years ago, but they didn't have the ability to get it out like we do now.
That's true.
They didn't have all the television, all the tapes, all the this and that. But now we do, and a lot of people all over this world. I go to Rhema Bible Training Center. They have their winter Bible seminar, and then they have a camp meeting in the summer. And they bring back the Rhema people from all over the world. There are Rhema schools all over the world that are just so succeeding. And so that means people of faith, people operating in faith, and they give their testimonies. They give the heads of the school, the people in the school, the students in the school. You could just rejoice. It's like the book of Acts. And it's coming because people learned about faith in God. It's and I think it keeps you from having like a yo-yo life, up and down and up and down. But you can walk on in faith. And I want to give this testimony about the blood of Jesus and about faith in that blood. My grandson, Cody Oaks, married to Brother Copeland's granddaughter, Aubrey Pearsons. She's the daughter of pastors Terry and George Pearsons at Eagle Mountain Church in Fort Worth, Texas. And Cody and Aubrey are moving to Oklahoma City. The Lord has really blessed them with a wonderful job. Cody's a pilot. And while he is at pilot's school right now, learning another airplane the company he's going to fly for has more than one type airplane. He was typed out on one. He had to get typed on another. And so she's staying with her parents, and Cody and Aubrey's home's being sold. And so she's with them. And they have two little girls, a little girl 4 and a little girl who will be 2 in October. The little one, 2, is named Kaylin. We call her KK. So this past Saturday morning, Aubrey was up preparing the girls' breakfast, and she just thought KK was in bed, you know. And her dad, George Pearsons, Pastor George Pearsons, came in from having gone to the gym. And he came in early, you know, came in at 8 o'clock in the morning. And he found little KK out on the front step. And her little panties, her little bottoms of her sleepers were off. So he carried her in the house, and they, you know, said, praise the Lord, and they didn't know how she got out. But then her mother went looking for the other garment to wash, and she happened to go out to her car, and she looked over by the swimming pool, right on the edge of the swimming pool, by the steps which go down into it. There were the bottoms of the pajamas and soaking wet. Not just as if a little child had had an accident, because she had on little, whatever you call those nighttime things, but they were soaking wet because she had been in the swimming pool. That meant that an angel had gotten her out of that swimming pool. Her mother and daddy, and of course the Pearsons, are faithful to plead the blood, to draw that bloodline and have faith in it. I know an evil spirit lured her out. He had as his goal their ministry, Eagle Mountain Church, the Copeland ministry, our ministry. He had that as his goal. He wanted to stop this meeting. Think of what a pall that would have put over our autumn assembly if the Copelands and us had been mourning little KK. Oh, I tell you, we are the conquerors. We triumph. He causes us to triumph. If you know what to do, if you know how to, in the name of Jesus, plead the blood of Jesus and put your faith in that, and Psalm 91, he's given his angels charge over us. Praise the Lord, we're the victors. He always causes us to triumph. Shalom.